Hey everyone, welcome back to The Good PM Life. I'm Sandy Lawler and I'm here to help you navigate the highs and lows of project management. I haven't recorded a podcast episode in several weeks. I was out of the country for a couple of weeks and then guys, I got sick. I did want to subject you guys to hearing my coughing and sneezing, so I decided to wait until I felt a lot better to record this podcast episode. But I am so excited to be back, and I'm excited to talk to you today about something that every project manager cares deeply about, and that is building a successful project team. You know, the right team can actually truly make or break your project, so it's worth taking the time to get this one right. So today, we're going to cover three things. First, we're going to cover some tips on selecting and developing your team. Next, we're going to also then talk about managing team dynamics. And lastly, I want to talk about handling conflicts to keep everyone motivated and productive. So, whether you're tuning in on your commute or maybe on your lunch break or even while you're working out, let's go ahead and jump in. So let's start with some core principles for selecting and developing that project team. Because team selection is really like picking those perfect ingredients for a recipe, right? Each person has very unique strengths that can make or break the flavor of the team. So the first thing I want you to look at is I want you to look for skill diversity. So when you're thinking about your project's goals, I want you to break them down by the core skills needed to achieve them. So let's say you are leading a product development project. You might need a mix of developers, definitely some designers, some analysts, and testers. So having a balance of different skills is really, really essential. But I also want you to consider the depth of experience. You don't want everyone at the same level. Having a few veterans and a few rising stars can create a really great dynamic where people learn from each other. So let me give you a pro tip. When you're assembling your team, have a checklist of must-have skills and nice-to-have skills. This will help you prioritize and it will really ensure that you're not overlooking something crucial. All right, next. Once you have your team, clearly defining roles is really essential here. Think about it like assigning parts in maybe like a theater production. Each person has a very specific role, and if they don't know it, they'll likely end up stepping on each other's toes, creating confusion and friction. So I want you to clearly outline who is responsible for what. And I don't want you to assume that everyone knows their role just because they have a certain job title. It's very important to hold a kickoff meeting to explain the who's who of the project so that everyone understands not just their role, but how they fit into that bigger picture. And also, this really helps people feel ownership over their work. When they know their responsibilities and how those tie into the project goals, it fosters accountability and pride in their contribution. Next, look for a good cultural fit and soft skills. Technical skills can be trained over time. Okay, that's easy stuff. But the qualities like adaptability, emotional intelligence, and communication style are much harder to reach. And we talked about that in previous episodes. So when you're interviewing potential team members, I want you to think beyond the resume. I want you to ask questions like, how do you handle feedback? Or what would you do if the project you're working on hits a roadblock? These types of questions reveal if they can handle those real-world challenges, think on their feet, and communicate effectively. A team with strong soft skills can adapt to project changes very easily. They can handle that inevitable stress that we talked about, and also they can resolve conflicts better than a purely technically skilled, quote-unquote, team. So don't skip the soft skills. It's a very key part for your team's success. All right, so once you've selected that team, I don't want you to just throw them in and hope for the best. A very strong onboarding process is crucial. I want you to use this time to set the stage for success, and I want you to do that by clearly outlining the project's goals, the timelines, and any important procedures. I like to give my new teams an onboarding packet with essential information, things like team objectives, your meeting cadence, key contacts. This way, everyone is on the same page and everyone has a go-to reference point for basic questions. Also, don't forget to think about any training they might need up front. If there are tools or processes that are new to maybe some of the team members, hold a quick training session early on. This avoids the frustration of having someone fall behind and helps everyone get up to speed. Hey guys, I wanted to take a quick break to share something that I think you're going to find invaluable if you're really serious about becoming a project manager. My book, The Comprehensive Guide to Becoming a Project Manager, is the ultimate resource for anyone looking to break into the field or even just level up their PM skills. So whether you're just starting out or aiming to advance your career, this guide covers everything that you need to know, from essential skills to insider tips and strategies. So get your copy today and take the next step towards becoming a successful project manager. You can find the link in the show notes below. Now, once your team is in place and onboarded, it's all about managing dynamics. Even the best teams really need attention to keep them running smoothly. The first thing I want you to focus on with managing team dynamics is I want you to start building trust, because building trust is the foundation of any great team. And without trust, team members may hold back ideas, they may avoid risks, or even hesitate to ask for help. So I want you to encourage trust building by creating an environment where it's okay to speak up, it's okay to ask questions, and even actually make mistakes. And one way to foster trust early on is by creating a few quick wins for the team. These, you know, they don't have to be monumental achievements. They just need to be small victories where everyone can contribute. This early success, it shows everyone that they can rely on each other, which is a massive confidence booster. Another technique that I like to use is to hold informal team check-ins. We talked about a stand-up, but also, how about a quick coffee chat or a team lunch? Those things go such a long way in building rapport. Sometimes, it's really the conversations that are held outside of those official meetings that help build the strongest connections. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about communication. This is something that I've probably talked about on every single episode, but because I talk about it so often, it really emphasizes how important it is. Communication is everything in project management. You have to establish a clear and consistent way to communicate that keeps the project moving forward and helps the team feel aligned. So, regular check-ins like the stand-ups or the coffee chats, clear documentation, and transparency about those key project updates, those are all very important. So, as the project manager, you want to model the communication style that you want to see. So what does that mean? It means be transparent, respond quickly, and show that no question is too small. Because, you know, when you lead by example, it encourages the rest of the team to do the same. So I want you to encourage open lines of communication across your team. I want you to set up an easy to access online platform where team members can ask questions, they can share updates, and get support from one another. One often overlooked aspect of managing team dynamics is recognizing contributions. Sometimes we just get so busy that we don't take a moment to stop and recognize the work that is being done on the project. You know, a little recognition really can go a long way in boosting morale and maintaining that positive atmosphere. And look, it doesn't have to be formal. A quick shout out in a meeting or a thank you email can make people feel so valued and so appreciated. So, you know, in the long run, when people feel recognized, they are more motivated to go that extra mile. They also probably feel more comfortable contributing their best work. All right. Lastly, let's talk about handling conflicts. I want you to know that conflicts are natural in any team setting. I mentioned this before. People are people. We all come from different backgrounds, different experiences, different education levels, different countries. But I want you to also understand that conflicts, they're not necessarily bad. Sometimes a conflict just means people care about that project and have very strong opinions on the best way to achieve success. So the key is to handle conflicts in a way that strengthens the team, not divides it. So let's talk about a few of the ways to do that. The first area that I want you to kind of focus on when handling conflicts is I want you to address these conflicts immediately. When a conflict arises, I want you to address it as soon as possible. Because, you know, letting issues fester usually only makes them worse. Trust me on this. I recommend having a one-on-one conversation with the involved parties if you notice a tension brewing. Give them a chance to air their concerns privately before they escalate. Next, practice active listening. We've talked about this. Active listening is essential when managing those conflicts. You know, often conflicts come from misunderstandings or assumptions. That's typically what has happened. I want you to take the time to listen to each side and paraphrase their points back to them to ensure that you understand. This simple step really shows empathy and can sometimes diffuse a tense situation right there. I want you to encourage each person to listen to each other's perspective. Sometimes, just understanding where the other person is coming from can dissolve the tension. Next, I want you to focus on solutions and not blame. So during conflict resolution, I want you to focus on finding a solution rather than assigning blame or who was right and who was wrong. Start with questions like, well, what can we learn from this? Or how can we move forward? This approach helps everyone refocus on the team's goals, and it really keeps the tone very constructive. So let me give you an example. If a deadline is missed due to a disagreement on strategy, don't focus on the delay. What I want you to focus on is what actions will prevent it in the future. All right, lastly, I want you all to celebrate wins together. Celebrating those wins as a team is one of the best ways to keep morale high, and it also reinforces that positive dynamic. You know, celebrations, they don't have to be big, okay? They can be a quick acknowledgement. I mentioned this before. They could be a quick shout out or acknowledgement in a meeting or an informal team lunch. That can be a nice way to recognize everyone's hard work. When that team feels valued and appreciated, they are so much more likely to resolve future conflicts in a very positive way, and it maintains a collaborative spirit. And that's a wrap. We covered tips for selecting and developing your team. We talked about managing dynamics. And lastly, we talked about handling those conflicts constructively. So I want you to remember this. Building that successful project team is not just about finding the best individual talent. It's about creating this environment where each member can shine, work well with others, and they can also achieve those shared goals. Thank you so much for joining me on The Good PM Life. If you found this episode helpful, I would really love for you to subscribe. I would love for you to leave a review or share with a friend who's interested in project management. So until next time, keep managing those projects and making things happen. See you soon.